Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, breaking down Julio Jones to the Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Gentlemen, I am great. How are you?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, David, we'll start with just the easy question. Your reaction to Julio Jones to the Titans, and how big a deal is this for Titans fans? You know this. You've watched this team since they've come here. It's been a struggle at times to find some wide receivers. Now they've got two legitimate studs on the outside. How big a deal is this day for Titans fans?
Yeah, you know, like I was thinking about it in terms of comparing it last year to adding Jadeveon Clowney right before the start of the season. It, you know, when you're talking about a big name guy and sort of a big storyline throughout the offseason here, but this feels different in a way. Like Clowney, it felt like a luxury that the Titans didn't necessarily need, but you know, you when you can add a guy like that, you took the chance and you wanted to do it. This year, you're not only getting a guy with a great reputation, a great history in the league, you're getting a guy that this team really needs, you know, at a spot where you looked at the roster and you say it's not good enough right now. And you know, you go from being not good enough to probably having the best 1-2 punch of wide receivers in the league right now. That, you know, now, you know, referencing Clowney again, that certainly didn't work out the way anyone hoped. There's no guarantees with this, especially when you look at Julio Jones coming off a season in which he missed 7 games because of injury. He's 32 years old. This team has a terrible history with the aging elite wide receivers, but it, you know, certainly as we sit here on June the 8th, if you're a Titans fan, you have to feel really good and really excited about what this could mean for the season now.
What did you think about the price, David, and, you know, just about the ramifications with this roster and the cap moving forward?
You know, Joe, the cap stuff, it's always interesting, and it is a real challenge for John Robinson and guys like Vin Marino and whatnot. But you know, there's always things that can be done. I never thought that the salary cap was going to be a real impediment to getting this deal done. I thought the asking price was going to be the big issue. And you know, if you're the Titans, if you're Titans fans, all the initial reporting was that Atlanta wanted a first round pick and whatever else, and that teams were sort of holding fast that they weren't going to give up a first round pick for Julio Jones. The Titans did not give up a first round pick, so that sort of feels like a little bit of a win for them. It is, though. You know, you give John Robinson credit for the fact that, you know, he lives for today. He'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes, but he hasn't put together a really big draft class here in quite some years, and at some point, you know, you need as many young, affordable guys as you can get. And you know, giving up a second round pick next year, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, but I do believe in the NFL it's probably better to do that. You know, just live for today, worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes, especially when you've got a team that you feel like can win the division, can be in the playoffs, can it be a Super Bowl contender. I'm not ready to say that with this bunch yet, but certainly if they can get some things together on the defensive side, get on a roll, that, you know, it could get exciting around here this year.
David, as you look at Julio coming in, what do you think this move can do for Derrick Henry? I mean, he 2,000 yards last year. We know how good Derrick Henry is. What do you think adding another weapon like Julio Jones could do for Derrick Henry in this offense?
Well, yeah, I think you just look at the Baltimore playoff game. I mean, everybody knows by now the key to stopping Derrick Henry is not to let him get through the line of scrimmage, get up to speed and do what he does from there. So, you know, what Baltimore did was, you know, they loaded guys in the box, said, we're going to get you down, we're going to get you on the ground before you really get going. Well, Now it's going to be next to impossible for teams to do that when you've got AJ Brown on one side and Julio Jones on the other. If you're a defensive coordinator, are you going to say we're going to sell out to stop the run and make them throw to beat us? I mean, if you do that, fine, but you have to know that, well, they're capable of throwing to beat you too. It's not that they don't have the capability. I think it will make life easier for Derrick Henry. It will make the pursuit of another 2,000 yard season more realistic, especially with a 17th game on the schedule. But Derrick Henry's interesting to me because by any analytics measure, anything that anybody talks about in those regards, he's not going to be as good this year as he was last year. So the question is, how much is he going to come back, and does this give him a chance to be that much closer to what he was last year?
Yeah. So I don't know if you've thought about like the historical comparisons at all. We've been batting that around a little bit, David. Anything come to mind on past teams that have had a back of that caliber with two receivers like this? Someone actually just tweeted at me, Franco, Swan, and Stallworth. That's not bad.
Not bad.
I think Edgerrin James, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne with those Colts teams. And, Edgerrin James had, what, an 1,800-yard season one year with that group. And in fact, Edgerrin James, I remember when he came up for the Hall of Fame here a few years ago, and I remember thinking, well, James was a good back, but I don't see him as a Hall of Fame guy. And then I went and looked at his numbers, and he had 1,500, he had 1,700, he had a stretch of another stretch of four straight years with more than 1,100 yards every year. I mean, he's a guy who benefited greatly from an offense that you just couldn't say we're going to take away one thing. You sort of had to defend everything honestly all over the field. And then when you had Peyton Manning kind of running that show, just imagine what that was like. Ryan Tannehill, as good as he's been, is no Peyton Manning, but he can still make defenses pay for whatever they want to wherever they want to leave themselves exposed.
David Beauclair from SI.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, with that in mind, as you look at Julio coming in, all the change that we've seen on defense that, quite honestly, I mean, nobody really knows what that's going to look like at this point. What do you think this move does for the Titans in the big picture? Are they right there with Kansas City? Are they below them? Are they still the favorites in the division? How would you answer what Julio Jones and that addition does for this team as far as expectations are concerned heading into this season?
Right now, Robbie, it gives them a chance to outscore people, which I think they're going to need to do early in the year. When you look at all the changes to the secondary, there's five cornerbacks from this team last year who aren't on this team this year. You don't have Kenny Vaccaro starting at safety anymore. All the communication, everything that goes into playing pass defense in the secondary is so critical. Then you take Kevin Johnson away. The one veteran guy you added who actually knew something about the system and knew something about the language that the coaches are speaking and whatnot, and who the guy who was going to help teach it to some of the young guys. You take him out of the picture, so now the communication becomes that much more difficult. Now you say, okay, well, the pass rush can help, and yes, you added Bud Dupree, and Bud Dupree's got to be an upgrade over anything we saw here last year. But he's coming off reconstructive knee surgery in November. Is he going to be at 100% at the start of the year? What's he going to be able to contribute? So you figure through the first month of the season or so, if the pass rush is not significantly better than it was, if it's as bad as it was last year, and you've got a secondary of guys still trying to figure out each other and what their particular jobs are, I mean, that's almost a disaster scenario, particularly in terms of what the early part of the schedule holds. But I think you add Julio Jones, you've got a chance to win some games, 38-35 and whatnot. I don't think they're on par with the Chiefs yet. I do think it makes the division sort of a toss-up between the Titans and the Colts. I figured, you know, Tennessee was pretty firmly a number two team in the division prior to this. So, there's no question the Titans are a better football team now than they were on Saturday. The question is, I guess, how good, and we won't know that for a little while.
So do you think the Titans are saying that they, with this move, David, like, this is a Super Bowl team? Like, is this a move you make? If you make this move, is that what you're saying? Because I've heard some of that reaction.
Yeah, I think, Joe, it feels to me like, honestly, 2022, like next year feels like what this team is setting up for. It feels like they're one more offseason away, given all the salary cap took from them this year. I think what this year does is it gives you a chance to, what this move does is it gives you a chance to, you know, make another run at the division, to be a serious playoff team again, you know, make sure you're still attractive to free agents next year when, you know, the salary cap's going to go back up. You'll have some flexibility and whatnot, because it's not like Julio Jones is on a one-year contract, right? I mean, he's here for a couple of years now. So, A.J. Brown's not going anywhere. Derrick Henry's not going anywhere. Ryan Tannehill's not going anywhere. You know, all these big pieces are together for a while now, and there's still some holes on this roster to be filled. I mean, Jonnu Smith hasn't been replaced. Daquan Jones hasn't really effectively been replaced, near as I can tell. You've got to get that secondary in order. You're still looking for a long-term answer at right tackle. There's these other things that it feels like it need. If everything goes the way this team wants this year, it feels to me like they're set up to be really, really dangerous and good a year from now. And this is sort of just making sure the salary cap impact of this year doesn't cause too many steps backward.
The great David Beauclair from SI.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Oh, anytime, gentlemen. You guys have a good day.
Absolutely. David, you as well. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what David had to say there regarding the Julio Jones trade. Does this make the Titans right there among the favorites in the AFC? We'll get to that. Also, some detail in the MMQB about how this Julio Jones deal came to be. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Julio Jones. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com joining us in the last segment, saying he doesn't believe that this puts the Titans right there with Kansas City at this point, and saying that maybe next year is the year where the Titans really could be dangerous. What's your reaction to that, Joe Rexrode, as you look at this roster, the salary cap, hopefully going back up next year as well? How close are the Titans right now, and do you think they could be even more dangerous with Julio Jones being a year older next year?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what he's saying. You know, I think the biggest question there is Derrick Henry. But I mean, look, before they signed him last year, it was like, oh, is he, running backs, they last 2 years in this league.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's this crazy idea that Derrick Henry could still be a very good player in 2023. You know, you do have, I mean, the cap will be interesting how this all shakes out. Lawan's deal, Byard's deal, at inside linebacker, you're probably losing Jayon Brown, maybe Rashawn Evans too, so you're looking very different there. But, you know, if you had a draft and you got stronger at tight end, I think the big thing there is like the secondary. You know, if it shakes out and you can kind of build a secondary this year that can be effective with young players, you could see how that could be quite a bit better in 22 than 21. So I mean I look at it like a 2 year thing, but I don't discount this year as a possible run either. I agree with David. Like early in the year, I think the Titans are going to look at that offense to carry things. That just makes sense. They should be able to go right now. I mean, the opener against the Cardinals, that could be fun. That could be wild. But obviously, the investment you made in the defense right now for this year suggests that this year, at some point, it needs to become decent, solid, competent. And I don't think that that's a stretch. And I think if it does, I'd be interested to see what this team could do in the postseason.
So Albert Breer with the MMQB on SI.com has come out with a piece kind of detailing how this Julio Jones trade to the Titans came together with Atlanta. And we've talked about Julio Jones requesting a trade, and apparently this dates back to a couple of years ago when negotiations between Jones and the Falcons and how difficult it was to come to a contract agreement at that point and damaging the relationship between Julio Jones and the Atlanta Falcons. Also, Breer in this piece points out that the clip that we played a few weeks ago of Jones going on TV with Shannon Sharp, apparently Julio Jones had no idea that he was on live television at that point, which if that's the case, not a great look from Shannon Sharp there. I don't know if I'd be answering any more phone calls from Shannon Sharp if I'm Julio Jones at that point. But kind of going through the process of, you know, the history between the Titans and Arthur Smith, highlighting that while that's kind of low-hanging fruit in this conversation, the Titans did have the best offer on the table. There was no first-round pick on the table for Julio Jones, which I think, Joe, we kind of figured that one out on our own. So if there's a first-round pick on the table for Julio Jones, Falcons probably taking that at this point. So the Titans end up getting Julio Jones. It's been a kind of an ongoing discussion. Said the Ravens were also in the mix at one point, but pulled out of the race after selecting Rashad Bateman in the first round. So the more you kind of read through this, the more it kind of seems like it was going to be the Titans that were really the ones making the push for Julio Jones. And as we know, that happened. And a lot of interesting stuff here about some conversations between Alabama coach Nick Saban and the Titans as well, doing some background on Julio Jones. Nick Saban getting a contract extension, by the way, yesterday through 2028.
Yeah, Nick Saban is going to coach forever.
Apparently so. But the more I read this report from Albert Breer, the more, I mean, it seems like it was pretty much the Titans to lose when it comes to Julio Jones here.
Yeah, and there's some good detail. And, you know, actually there's a piece that just came out this morning, too, from Jeff Schultz, friend of the show, coworker of mine at The Athletic, about the Falcons and Julio and the backstory of, I mean, it was years in the making of this sort of this parting of the ways, you know. I have some sympathy on the Falcons side when you redo a deal and then there's 3 years left on it, or two or three, and demand that it be redone again because some of the other receivers around the league got, you know, bigger deals. I mean, I'm all for players getting what they can get, but I mean, I have a little bit of sympathy on the club side on that whole situation. Obviously, there was some bitterness that resulted from all that, and it was headed toward this. But very interesting, I thought, about the Titans. And John Robinson referred to this in general the other day when he did his presser, but you have some details here about really going to Saban in particular on this, which is interesting. To talk about Julio Jones, try to figure out, you know, if he's going to fit in, if it's going to work out. You know, you don't want to bring someone in who's going to, you know, be disruptive or going to be a problem. And it sounds like they were satisfied with the answers they got. So it was a very interesting piece. And, you know, the Titans are flat out just the team that offered the most. So you could look, be a Titans fan. We got some of this on the text line yesterday. You know, well, why didn't anyone else come with this? It's not like it's some huge price, but why are other teams hesitant? And it's a fair question.
Sure.
I think it's a fair deal. It's right in line with what I figured it would come down. I mean, I think you predicted last week basically this exact price, right?
Yep.
And then Stillman fired you?
He did.
He fired you. Everyone's going to get fired.
I felt good about
it. Everyone's about to get fired because of this whole situation.
Yes.
But I get why teams are hesitant, but I mean, a team in the Titans' position, second round pick, you know, a fourth comes back, a sixth comes back. Yes, the salary, that's going to be interesting. But man, I feel like it's not an exorbitant price.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Plain Joe on the text line says, Beauclair said the Titans are firmly in the number two spot for the division. Based on what? Carson Wentz's poor performance the last couple of years? The pieces they lost on their offensive and defensive lines? Their lack of receivers? Curious which part he thinks puts them over the Titans. Now, in fairness,
he said they were
number two. Now he says they are neck and neck.
But that's still stood out to me. I'm like, yeah. Really? You had them as the firm, clear favorite. Well, listen, we didn't get to ask a follow-up on that, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that means that David feels like Carson Wentz is going to be pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole thing here. If you believe Carson Wentz is going to have his career revived, reuniting with Frank Reich and everything, with a good offensive line, good running game, well, okay. They have a good defense. I mean, they're a good team. It's not crazy to think the Colts could win the AFC South. I think even now, it's not crazy to think that.
Sure.
But I was a little surprised by that, too, that he thought it was firmly Colts 1, Titans 2. I, before this, still favored the Titans very narrowly in this division.
Yeah, and I think, as he said, there's no question about it. I mean, the Titans are a better football team today than they were Saturday before they make this deal. The question is going to come down to, okay, well, how much better? Like, what does Julio Jones still have left in the tank? Is he close to the Julio Jones that we've seen in Atlanta? Is he close to the Julio Jones that we saw last year? If that's the Julio Jones you're getting, like, you can't convince me if that's the Julio Jones that they're getting, that doesn't make the difference in a couple of games as they move forward. He's been that good.
Well, and I mean, it could make a difference in a couple of games. That's always hard. It's like, okay, what's the one player? What is the bottom line? You know, even in a given week, we were talking about odds earlier. You know, sometimes like a key player will be lost or will come back, and like the line moves like a half point.
Right.
But it, like, you look at it like that could make a complete difference in that game. I don't know. But I think it could be transformational for this offense, which was going to be good. Maybe very good. Probably not as good as last year. Now it might be better than last year.
It's crazy.
That, to me, makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
I can't put a number on it, but I think it could be a lot.
According to Diana Russini, Julio Jones, as we know, was in the facility yesterday for the Titans, flew out. He's expected to be back on Monday for his physical and is expected to attend Titans minicamp next week as well. So Julio Jones looks like we'll be at Titans minicamp next week.
Let me tell you, let me promise everyone here right now, my videos will be amazing.
I bet they will be.
Thankfully, I've been working years to craft, to work on my craft as a videographer.
Then Julio catching,
it's
like,
finally gonna be,
fade balls in the end zone. You're ready for it.
Every drill, I'm going to edit them together. It's going to be amazing.
When we come back, we'll get to one of Joe Rexroad's favorite pastimes here on the show, and that is yelling about Jared Stillman and his take on Julio Jones to the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also discussing a little Greenbrier, Tennessee slander on The Athletic. What's going on over there, Rex Road?
I mean, I wrote a piece about the Vols baseball after covering the game the other day, by the way. It's LSU, Tennessee, which is wild this week. And we got schedules, by the way. And Vandy plays early Friday and Saturday. It's so exciting. Tennessee starts Saturday. And both teams, by the way, are going to be on like ESPN2 or something. Yeah. So I know a lot of complaints from fans. These games are going to be on TV. So be happy about that. But, yeah, one of the Tennessee players is from Greenbrier, which I mentioned in the piece. And someone says, who knows where Greenbrier is? I'm like, Robbie Stanley knows where Greenbrier is.
Shout out to Greenbrier, Tennessee.
Yeah, there's like an awesome pizza place there too.
There's
right?
an awesome pizza place. See? I mean, Greenbrier's a great town.
You got it all.
We do. By the way,
all in Greenbrier. I do need to quickly shout out my daughter Caroline. If anybody's looking at the live stream, this is my early Father's Day present. I wore the Vibe and Robbie T-shirt yesterday.
Yeah.
We can't coordinate this, but today I've got my Dwight Schrute false shirt.
Very nice.
Thank you, Caroline. She's at camp this week and. Like, Katie and I are like, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Like, you know, like
the peacekeeper in the house is gone.
Right. The peacekeeper, like the favorite person, you know. We don't know what to do. And, you know, when kids go to camp, like, we have her phone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, we can like send an email, and then sometimes we get pictures of like the activities. It's so, it's kind of nerve wracking, man. I'll be honest with you.
Got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I heard the next segment is all about Rex Road yelling at Stillman, so I am all in. So what has Jared Stillman done now that has upset you?
No, Rex Road? I'm not yelling at Stillman. I was texting him yesterday as I was listening to the show driving back from Knoxville. I didn't text while I was driving, by the way. I stopped at a gas station. And I had to stop. I didn't stop to text him, but when I stopped, I texted him.
I kind of think you stopped
just to yell at Jared.
In Crossville, in Cookville, and then in Lebanon.
Just hit all the towns along the way.
Stopped at all three of those towns just to text Jared.
Yeah. I drank a lot of coffee during the show in Knoxville yesterday. Had to make a lot of stops, okay?
There you go.
But, I mean, it's fine. Jared's the contrarian on this, and that's fine. And look, I mean, I agree with him that this is like loading up a credit card to a certain extent. But my point to him was he's big on like, okay, this means they have to not just win it, but they have to be elite this year. Like, you are saying you're elite. You have to be elite. If you aren't elite, someone should be in the hot seat. Jared goes to the hot seat quickly. I don't necessarily like here's the specific back and forth we had. So I'm like, okay, so if they go 9-8, someone's losing their job. And he's like, he thinks Vrabel might. I'd be surprised if they went 9-8 and Mike Vrabel got fired. Now, people wouldn't be happy, and people shouldn't be happy. So we agree with that. But my question, I guess, is, okay, if they didn't make this move and they went 9-8, what should fans feel? Should fans not be upset going back to this and saying, man, why didn't you try to get Julio Jones? I mean, can't you flip it around on this?
Because your core players in the prime of their career. This is kind of the same thing as the Predators discussion with me. Like, when you've got Tannehill, Derrick Henry in their prime right now, that's what made last year so frustrating and why we talked about it in the fashion that we did, is because it felt like you totally wasted a year of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry with how awful that defense was.
You did, but you tried. You didn't make the right – the choices didn't work out for you. But
right.
But they also had go-for-it moves last year, right?
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if you left this team alone and you waltzed into this season with Josh Reynolds as your number two wide receiver, like, to me, your offense was not going to be good enough to compete at the level you need to get it to. Maybe it was, but that's just the way I felt about it heading in. So – to your point, like, if you leave things alone, you don't go get Julio, and you finish 9-8, it's still, to me, a wasted year of Tannehill and Henry and their prime. So I would be just as upset about that as I would be if things don't work out with
right.
Julio.
Yeah, and again, like, a good example that Jared has used, and of course, Floyd Reese at his GM tenure, which ultimately resulted in him not being the GM anymore. And they didn't win it. So they get to the Super Bowl, they're a yard short. And then you're kicking the can, you're doing everything you can to keep that team together as long as you can, right? You absolutely do that. I do that a million times out of a million. Like, so I just don't understand why anyone should care right now that in 23 or 24 they might be in trouble. Like that, and we talked about this yesterday on the show. I mean, this is my rant. Like, if you have a chance to do something, do it right now. This team could be, because you could not do this, and you could be more careful, and you could be fine and stay out of cap prison and still suck. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because you don't have a quarterback. I mean, when Ryan Tannehill's not this level of quarterback anymore, what's your next quarterback? How are you getting him? Who is it?
Probably gonna have to suck.
Are you gonna tank to go get the next big guy, or are you gonna get lucky and trade a fourth round pick? I mean, I don't know. You could easily suck being totally financially responsible. And I do think the cap is overrated to some extent.
It's not overrated. Totally. It's not non-existent is the way I like to put it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So all opinions on this are great, but I do think the Titans fans should be excited. And I think that they would have just as much right to be unhappy after a mediocre year if they didn't make this move. And Jared seems to think like this move ratchets up the pressure on everyone. I don't necessarily buy that.
Well, I think if Julio Jones comes in and he looks like a shell of himself, and he just doesn't look like the same Julio Jones that we've seen, and you were the only team that was willing to pay the price that you paid, there will be fans that look back on this and say, what is John Robinson doing? Like, how is he the only one that was willing to put this price together? I guess a lot of this just comes down to what's your confidence level in Julio Jones. And until I am proven otherwise, like, I've still got a lot of confidence that Julio Jones is a really good player. So I don't worry about that as much.
I just don't think there's information. Yeah, it could work out that way, and you're right. It'll certainly be there will be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking on it, and you look back, oh, so you were the one team that paid the big price, and these other teams are smarter than you. But I don't think there's information out there that tells you he's A.J. Green right now.
Right.
You know, it could work out that way. At some point, it happens to everybody, and you can't predict when it's going to happen. But the information that's available, which is basically all the times he played last year, including through the hammy injury, is that he's still really good.
Look, I have no problem with John Robinson going for it here. I mean, I just don't. And Porth, you talked about this, and I think you were using it in the pass rusher discussion before free agency about, you know, like at some point, you just got to go for it and take your swing with a big-name guy. And, you know, we talked about with Josh Reynolds being the number two, like if you're the Titans, are you undervaluing the receiver position? Like, to me, Josh Reynolds, based on what I've seen out of him so far, he's not a number two guy. I feel a ton better about Josh Reynolds as a number three on this team. And with Julio coming in, maybe it doesn't work out. But to me, I have no problem with John Robinson going for it now with – Derrick Henry, going to be 27 years old. Ryan Tannehill, right now 32 years old. Like, you're in win-now mode. I have no issue with John Robinson going for it with Julio Jones.
Like, what's going to help you better? This is something that I keep coming back to on this trade. What's going to help you more with the window of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, and the rest of this Titans core that you feel like can make a run at this, even though Kansas City is this big Goliath in the AFC? Is it going to be Julio Jones and you're kind of rolling the dice on him and his health and him still being an elite receiver? Or is it going to be that second-round pick in next year's draft? I am taking the chance with Julio Jones probably 9 out of 10 times. And that's what I keep coming back to, and the fact that this is worth it. And it will probably stink, you know, 3 years from now that – they're going through some cap stuff, but I am so willing to go through that to give this core a shot instead of playing it safe every year with the cap and just being a 9 or 10 win team every year.
That you said it perfectly. I mean, I think every Titans fan should feel that way. I don't want to tell everybody how to feel. I feel like I do that a lot, though, even though I say I don't want to do
that. That's half of what we do.
Like, there are 17 now Sundays that you can watch your team play, right? That's another part of this. The rest of the year, you know, like, what do you have? You have things like this. You're evaluating what your GM's doing in the draft, but you don't know.
Yep.
You know, is the free agent signing going to work out? Everybody was celebrating Clowney last year. Well, it didn't work out. But to me, this is a reason to be excited, like right now. And I think it'll be interesting with tickets and all that stuff. I think this is going to have a real impact. That's not – the point is to win. That's what they're trying to do. But I agree. Like, if you are worried about, oh, in a few years from now, we don't want to have this huge dip. Well, great. So you stayed here? Okay, it's good to have good winning teams and there's consistency, but this is a window. It's a small window. And I think if you don't do everything possible, that's when fans should be mad at you.
Agreed. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, as a Greenbrier native, thanks for the shout-out. We love you guys in Greenbrier.
Boom.
We love you, too.
Are you the mayor? Could you be the mayor of Greenbrier?
Yes.
Maybe.
Is there a mayor of Greenbrier?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know.
I think you should come should come after his or her job.
Maybe so.
Maybe it was the mayor of Greenbrier that just texted in.
Maybe so, if that's the case. I will not come after your job.
Well, Robbie will be deputy mayor. How about that?
Let's do that. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What are the biggest question marks with this Julio Jones trade as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and the Nashville Predators will host a 615-day celebration presented by Social Furniture at Fordyce Center Bellevue on June 15th, benefiting Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This all-day event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615-day, an occasion that pairs Music City's area code with the date of June 15th. There is also a silent auction now open. Just text PREDS to 76278 to check out all the great items and to bid. Proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be joined by Julio Jones' former teammate, former Atlanta Falcons tight end Jacob Tammy, coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I love Jared so much and his takes. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with you, Joe. I think the last year or 2 years, Jared would like this move. He's changed his tune, maybe because of the Clowney move. Either way, I can't control what John Robinson does. I, as a fan, have to roll with it. If I'm a true fan, I'd still root for them, even if the deals are questionable.
I mean, you can't believe. What are you talking about? What Jared family member is this? Conflicted. Come on, man.
Can't believe that he's agreeing with you.
Can't believe it. Crazy talk. All right, I'll take it. I'll take your agreement. Thank you.
Jonathan on the text line says, I'm always a fan of Jared, and I don't always agree with him. He's entertaining to listen to, but yesterday his negativity was exhausting. Can we not just celebrate the biggest superstar in Nashville sports history for one day?
Wait, the biggest what?
Superstar in Nashville sports history.
Is that true?
I don't know.
See, he's up there. The funny thing is, like we talked about it yesterday, like my buddy who's a Titans fan immediately thought of Randy Moss and Andre Johnson.
Who could forget
right?
that tenure.
So, I mean, they were technically here.
They were. Yeah,
this is different from that.
Andre Johnson made a big catch in Detroit.
Oh, he sure did. Oh, I was there.
Did nothing after that.
Yeah.
A throw by Marcus that was.
That was
a great throw.
It was a great. It was like a knuckleball. Somehow got through like three people.
I mean, is PK Subban in that conversation with Julio?
Yeah, I mean, I think Julio's more of a superstar than PK was. But yeah, I think he's in the conversation.
I just think the football hockey.
Yeah.
Probably right.
No, that's fair.
Although, you know, but when you have that discussion, I mean, if we're including Canada and worldwide hockey lovers, you know, that's what's always interesting. Obviously, football is king in this country.
Sure.
But Subban was an international superstar.
Yeah.
Austin Powers, international man of mystery. I mean, that's a good comparison. Who else? I mean, look, like Derrick Henry is.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Is becoming that guy. Yeah. Steve McNair was a superstar.
Yep.
Pecorino.
I mean, Vince Young, like him or not, I mean, Vince Young was a superstar.
Yeah. I mean, Heisman winner, one of the greatest college football games ever. Rookie of the year.
An awesome rookie year. Yeah. Now, it didn't go well. Like, it didn't go the way you thought it would. But the star power of Vince Young, when he first got here, it's pretty high.
Like, if you could get as much good football out of Julio Jones as the Titans got out of Vince Young, that's probably about what you're hoping for, right?
A couple years, yeah.
If you're going off of Twitter followers.
Oh, boy.
PK Subban has over a million. Julio Jones is at over 500K, and then Derrick Henry's at just under 400K.
Yeah.
If you're just going off of that alone.
Julio's account's private, though. I tried to follow Julio Jones yesterday. I'm still pending.
Did he make that private after the Shannon Sharpe stuff?
I don't know.
Or has it always been that way?
I don't know.
I hope he accepts our Twitter
follow request.
I just know Deion Lewis still has me blocked. I don't
know. Me too.
But to that point, though, I also think that's Subban. I mean, sometimes your Twitter following has something to do with what you do on Twitter, and Subban's very active, right? I don't know, but I don't feel like Julio Jones is like the personality on social media that Subban is.
Probably not. I mean, very few people are.
That's true.
To be honest. Somebody on the text line says Peter Forsberg, bigger superstar than Julio Jones. Maybe. That depends. I mean, again, that goes back to the football hockey thing. Like, I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player. one of the great players of all time, but is Peter Forsberg more popular than Julio Jones? I don't know.
How would you compare Peter Forsberg and Subban coming in here? Peter Forsberg, way more accomplished.
Yeah.
Later, way later in his career.
It's different, too. You got social media.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things different about it. But
on a different topic, I got to read this tweet by Mike Hearn, and this is a very good from Broadway Sports. So he says, okay, so QBA, okay, 61.8%, 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, 6.8 yards per attempt.
Okay.
QBB, up 68.9%, 4,800 yards, 50 touchdowns, 6 picks, 8.3 yards per attempt. It's a trick question. They're both Tom Brady. In 2006, Brady throwing to Troy Brown and Caldwell, and in 07, throwing to Randy Moss and Wes Welker. The point obviously being quarterbacks tend to benefit from good players around them.
I would say so.
Good people to catch the passes. But there is, I mean, this
so is, does that mean Tannehill, like the bar this year, should be 4,500 yards, 47 touchdowns?
No, because I think they're still going to be very balanced. I don't think they're going to have – I mean, who ran the ball for the Patriots back then? I have no idea. Who the heck was the running back then? I mean,
was it Corey Dillon?
I never
there
know.
Then?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe. So I don't think Tannehill's going to have gaudy numbers, except I think his like yards per attempt could be really strong and his complete, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to have outrageous accumulation of numbers this year. But we'll see. There is pressure on Tannehill. I mean, I don't think that's disputable.
So when it comes to Julio Jones, what are the biggest question marks as it relates to him and his success with the Titans? And Tony Kornheiser from the wonderful show PTI was talking about Julio Jones to the Titans and Julio's age. Here's what Tony Kornheiser of ESPN had to say.
Jones is 32 years old, and you add that in combination with the fact that last year was his least productive year, and I can understand how a person would think he's on the downslope of his career. Me personally, I think he's going to have one or two great years. I would tell you that your favorite receiver in the world, Larry Fitzgerald, was great receiver well into his 30s.
Yeah.
I would tell you that Randy Moss was a great receiver into his 30s. And to your point about what Tennessee has, they are now a team that can beat you short and beat you long. And you can't double Julio Jones. The more you double Julio Jones or A.J. Brown, the more Derrick Henry gets the ball and only has to get through one line. You know, right, I mean, they right. are, they're not a good defensive team. But Ryan Tannehill has proven there that he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Are they a Super Bowl team?
Maybe.
Not if Kansas City's still in the AFC.
Well,
but they're now, you look at Baltimore, you look at Buffalo, you look at Cleveland, Tennessee is every bit
right
the team that they are right now.
So that was the conversation on PTI yesterday regarding Julio Jones and the Titans. What do you think of what Kornheiser threw out there? Not very concerned about Julio's age, pointing to Randy Moss being a great receiver into his 30s, Larry Fitzgerald being a great receiver into his 30s as well. What's your concern level that maybe the cliff is closer to Julio Jones than some people think? And how difficult is that to project if you're John Robinson, looking to the impact Julio could have with this offense?
Well, first of all, Kornheiser, Tannehill has proved – Tannehill is proven,
jeez,
but Tannehill has not proven. It's not a verb. But anyway, we're going to keep pushing this until people get it right. Yeah.
Skiatika.
We don't know. Thank you. We don't know for sure. But and look, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, man, he's going to be great at 36. It doesn't matter. To me, it's really, does he have two more really good years in him? Right now? Force me to bet either way on that. I'm gonna say yes. I think the missing games because of injury is certainly a concern. He's had foot stuff. He's had knee stuff. He had hamstring stuff last year. He's had a lot of nagging injuries. He's played through most of them. Most years he's played most games. If you look at his career before last year, when he only played 9.
Yep.
And again, he tried to play through the hammy last year. So look. That's a concern. It's real, but I wouldn't look at all the information we have, the duration of his career, what he's done for the most part, and even like last year and how he played when he was out there, and think he's done. At some point he will be. And if that happens, Titans are going to be hurting. But right now, I look at it and I would have to, I would bet on a couple more really good years for him. Is it like dominant 1,800 yards, 2015 Julio Jones? No. If it's 80% of that, you'll take that.
You take that.
You
every
will
day
take that with those other two guys, and you will cause problems for people.
102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jacob Tammy, former NFL tight end, teammates with Julio Jones with the Atlanta Falcons as well. Looking forward to that conversation coming up with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.